Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
The Around the NFL Podcast wants to make you a mixtape, girl.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Colleen Wolfe, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and girl?
Hey, Dan.
What's happening?
Yo.
Colleen, this is...
Big day, big week.
You're like third or fourth show in a row with us? Would that make... that was that a record for number...
I don't think she was on last Monday show, not to poke a hole in your theory.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's been poked. But welcome back.
But many shows.
Bummer. Way
can't
to start,
have enough.
Though.
I think three or four out of five.
Filling in for the Sizzler, who is off today. It's his son's birthday. Young Colton, I believe, is 4 years old. So he's spending time with the family. Connie Fox always on the ready to jump in.
That's
so
right.
We still got four in the room.
Happy birthday to Colton and Simone Sessler, Mark's wife. And then, of course... the old Zeuser, Dan Hansis, had a birthday over the weekend.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a great great birthday. 36 years old. Time's getting away from me now. But, you just got to make the most of what you have left at this point.
I agree.
You're a strapping young lad.
I hope so. But I do think about stuff like if you double your age and then if you died, would it be a tragedy?
And if wow. Are you serious?
And he died 72. It's kind of young, but it's not that young. It's not crazy. So you could say this midlife crisis could be starting.
Well,
actually, right now with the show.
I can understand.
I think my dad is 72. On your mind. What are you trying to say?
I hope your dad lives for another 30 years, Greg. But I'm just saying he's not a young man anymore. Mortality is something we all wrestle with.
Yeah, think about it.
Dan just told me that I looked fresh-faced in a picture from 2010, so I think age is on everyone's mind right now.
That was not meant to be an insult, but
we're all going to die anyway.
I was doing a web search unrelated to it, and then up popped the story of headline, Gonzo and Colleen Wolfe off the market. A whole news article written in the Philly Insider in 2010 about your engagement.
Wow.
And there was a picture of you, and... you're fresh face. It was a while ago.
Well, 2010's
thanks. A while ago.
Yeah, you're right. 6 years.
That's not what I meant, though. I want you to know that.
Okay.
This is the Monday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored by no one, but that doesn't mean that it can't be sponsored by someone.
Come at us.
Work with us, and we'll work with you. Great show, because this is draft week, guys. It's here on Thursday in Chicago. The name of the facility, Greg, is...
Draft Town is Chi-Town.
No, not the slogan.
that's all I say.
The slogan that definitely needed to be workshopped.
That's all I say during draft week. Draft week is Chi-Town. That's my answer. I'm sticking with it.
I would assume Chi-Town is one of those nicknames that anybody from Chicago would be like, no. We do not like that.
Oh, people yell at me all the time on Twitter. They're like, whatever you do not refer to Chicago as Chi-Town. And I didn't even know that was a thing.
Can you call it the Windy City?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
People call it that.
Or maybe just Chicago.
Well, we're not going. We're going to be here so that we can tape some high-octane podcasts after the first round and after the draft ends on Saturday.
Yeah, this is, as I said last week, this is the one week of the year where we have a Saturday night show. So we'll have today's show. Today is Monday. And then on Thursday after the draft, we'll have a wrap-up of round one. And then Saturday night. Wrap up around 1 through 7 with big takeaways,
winners and losers and whatnot.
Yeah, so that'll be big. And as everyone, if you're a fan of this podcast, you know that this time of year, we do bring back one of our favorite games. We love competition, Greg. You love to wager. We all love the idea of
it's accurate.
It's not allowed by the NFL.
Who can get things right? Who can get things wrong? So we have a game called Go Get My Lunch, You Human Disease.
That's the name of it now.
No, it changes.
Okay.
So we're going to go around the horn here a few times and make sandwich props on what's going to happen in the draft on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. mostly I would think many of the bets will be, or props, we don't bet here, mm-hmm. will be centered around Thursday night, round one, but that doesn't necessarily have to hold that way. It could be anything related to the draft. So, and if you want to check out the standings, gogetmylunch.org. This will be a big round, Greg, because it's very tight, the standings.
Yeah, it's like a three-way tie atop the top, just about. I think I'm just ahead of you and Wes.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. We're going to get more into that a little bit later. But there's some big news to talk about, so we don't want to waste too much more time. We should get into it. And to do that, let's check behind the glass. The Irishman, Brandon McGinnis. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much, Dan. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. This first news item we're going to talk about, I know is going to hit home with you and the man to my right. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get to it. Dearly beloved, Prince. Rest in peace. Maybe we'll talk about him a little bit later. But right now, we must start on the throne of sleaze. Oh, no. Everyone, run. There's nowhere to run. The atomic blast knows no bounds. On Monday, the U.S. Second Court of Appeals handed down a decision that reinstates the four-game suspension of Patriots quarterback Tom Brady for his connection to the deflated football scandal back in the 2014 AFC Championship game against the Colts. Brady's suspension was nullified by Judge Berman back in September. It allowed Brady to play the entire 2015 season, of course. But this all, and we didn't cover it too closely as the court process was continuing to unfurl, but it was happening over the last couple of months. This was still going on, the NFL trying to get the suspension put back on the books. And in a 33-page decision, the Second Circuit Court, we must respect the court's opinions. This is our country, and we're founded on the principles of government and believing that it can guide the people in a proper manner.
So our legal system is not perfect, but it's the best legal system in the world.
So you believe OJ is innocent?
Listen, there are outliers and everything, but in a 33-page decision, it was decided that the ban must be put back and Brady suspended for the first 4 weeks, barring another Hail Mary. Greg, we'll start with you.
Well, a lot to think about here. The first is that it's not even about whether Tom Brady deflated the balls or not. This is just about how much power does Roger Goodell have. So it's kind of a boring legal topic to talk about, but the court believed that basically he's got all the power. He can do what he wants. That they agreed to it and that he disagreed with the original version, saying that the players have agreed to give Goodell this latitude so he can do it.
Yeah,
Whether he did anything, whether it's worth it or not, he can do what he wants.
The union agreed to it. He can rule by fiat.
And the judgment was made that what Judge Berman ruled last September, he overstepped his bounds, essentially, and was ruling on a case that it really wasn't about whether or not Brady should have been suspended. It was what Greg was saying, that it was whether, Goodell acted within his power. And he did, Colleen, according to this court. So now a four-game ban is back, and from what we hear, and I don't know if you're our legal expert, Colleen.
Oh, please, rely on me for that. Well, you should.
You're our regular Gabe Feldman.
Old Gabe Fox. Now, barring something that's unforeseen, it sounds like this one might actually stick. Tell us your thoughts about what this means for the Patriots.
Well, I mean, they sort of last year had kind of a dress rehearsal already with Jimmy Garoppolo, and we never really got to see what that was going to look like, how it was with him running the offense. So now they start the season with the Cardinals, Dolphins, Houston, and the Bills.
Wait, let's do that again.
Okay, so
let's,
Cardinals
at home?
In Arizona.
At Arizona.
Yeah.
And then three straight home games.
Yeah, Dolphins, Texans, Bills.
Throwing a sleaze plus ease.
And what? Dolphins, that is literally the Texans. Hardest game in the league, just about,
the
is
first
at Atlanta.
A tough one.
Yeah.
And then after
Arizona.
That is a playoff team and then two mediocre teams. But you're right. It's very rare that you get three straight home games ever, and they're going to have it for Jimmy.
And they never lose in their building. But, of course, they never not have Tom Brady. So everything's gone up in the air. We hear about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think Mark, when we were throwing – I can't remember what it was, but Mark recently on a show – invoke Garoppolo's name as someone that would be floated for a first-round pick. There's a lot of positive vibes around Jimmy Garoppolo, but we still have never seen him play meaningful snaps in the NFL. So we'll find out potentially finally this September.
I wonder if they would think about bringing in Hoyer just to have there in case. I mean, he does have a history there, and why not?
Seems like a throne of ease kind of move. Just because you're the Patriots, you get to have these things happen.
Well, I don't think Hoyer would want to do it unless he really doesn't have any good options, which he might not. I mean, because I don't think they would bring in Hoyer to compete to start.
Sure.
I think Garoppolo would just be the starter. So then how much are you really paying your number three quarterback from weeks 5 to 17? I think they will draft someone. I mean, they only have one quarterback on the roster. It's Garoppolo. So they need to get two more quarterbacks in. They'll draft someone at some point, probably late, and they'll sign a veteran. Whether it's Hoyer, it'll be someone I think that'll take a low-cost deal, but it'll be some veteran that's
bring Matt Flynn back into the league.
Right. I was going to say, refresh my memory. Was it Flynn that they brought in last August?
It was.
They thought they were heading towards the same situation?
It was.
They bring in Flynn.
I mean, that's ugly. Part of, talk about throne of ease. There was part of me last year that, obviously, you want Tom Brady out there for every game. But there was part of me that just, look, I've seen the Patriots with Tom Brady forever.
Oh, stop.
I would not. It's like a fun.
It must be so nice to be a Patriots
fan. Bring it.
Fan.
Oh, great.
Let's just see what this is like because we can. And if the Patriots, if they start off bad, it doesn't matter because they'll turn everything around anyway.
No, but who do you get excited about when you're a fan? Young quarterbacks. Hey, let's see this guy play. It's a different situation. It happens.
Dan with his head in his hands.
And oh, by the way.
QB ejects every week. You know that Brady was playing as high a level as he ever played until his players got hurt around him.
I'm just saying there's positives and negatives, and there are two national games in this four spot, Sunday Night Football and Thursday Night Football, so the two biggest showcases that we have in our sport. Jimmy G plays well there, and then you trade him for the first-round pick next year.
I just do want to remind you, in case you haven't noticed with that insane comment you just made, that at some point, probably in the next 5-6 years, you will not have Tom Brady to worry about anymore for literally the rest of your life.
Right. I already told you I'm good with the four Super Bowls. Let's see what Jimmy G can do. I mean, if we're guessing what they finish out of those four games, to me the most likely answer is, it's either 3-1 or 2-2, and you see.
Oh,
right?
The best
most
part.
Most likely to go 3-1
or 2-2, one of those two.
What if Jimmy Garoppolo stinks?
Well, they have
factored that in. Really.
They have this whole thing called football. That's a big team sport. The Denver Broncos just won.
Taste that condensation.
Also, the Browns are the first team that Tom Brady would play in Week 5.
When did the Patriots get the Broncos defense?
Well, that's fair. But they have a good coaching staff who can adjust. They have a pretty good defense. They have some weapons on offense.
They won 11 games with Matt Castle.
Right. It's not a talent poor team.
I would be shocked if they won less than two, but. Who knows? You never know how this could play out. But the three home games really helps you. You're in a tough spot, obviously, in week one. It was already going to be a challenging game. Now it's going to be a real – but wouldn't it be so Patriots, though, if they steal that week one game?
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see that.
And
also
then end up losing one of the other ones.
Yes, that's kind of what I would expect.
All right, so we'll see what happens.
Expects to beat the Cardinals with Jimmy Graham.
No, but if you put if they're in a tough spot, right. Like the few times that they're not expected to win over the years, that's usually when they
really
play
unbecoming.
Well. Oh, you guys make it sound like being like a 5-point underdog or whatever it'll be is some massive upset. It's not that crazy.
But you do realize, and I say this with peace and love, with all due respect, you sound a little spoiled when you're saying you were kind of looking forward to not having Tom Brady.
I'm not looking forward to it. You're spinning it. And of course I'm spoiled. Of course we're spoiled. I appreciate it. The spoiled ones to me are the ones that don't even realize how lucky they are and they're complaining about the Patriots all the time.
All right. Well, you're about to get your wish. Potentially.
Please.
In other quarterback news, this is in Colleen's neck of the woods over in Philadelphia. Sam Bradford signed a contract to stay with the Eagles earlier in the offseason. He probably felt pretty good about his situation. I'm going to get yet another chance to reestablish my value. I'm going to make a ton of dough. But then what happens? They go and they get Chase Daniel, and that was a little weird because the new head coach was talking up Chase Daniel whenever he could prior to the start of free agency. And then they go and pull off the mega trade to get into the top two of the draft, which meant they were going to obviously import the quote-unquote quarterback of the future. So Sam Bradford's angry, and he's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Rap Sheet reports Monday that Sam Bradford will skip the Eagles' offseason training program from now on in an effort to get traded. and the request to be traded, quote unquote, blindsided the Eagles, according to Rap Sheet, and the team still views Bradford as their starter.
Oh my God, there's so much here.
Is this all right? Colleen, we'll tee you up, but I'll ask you the first question. Would this qualify as for Sam Bradford?
Yes. Of course he's going to be mad. I mean, why wouldn't he? It doesn't make sense that the Eagles are like, oh my God, this was so surprising that Sam Bradford is like, what the heck? I don't want to play here anymore. It doesn't make any sense. But you look at what happened here and everything that Howie Roseman was saying in that press conference too about Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And it just seems like the whole thing is such a mess in Philadelphia, and it's always just blowing up and imploding. And you have even today, Chase Daniel, he gets on Twitter. I mean, he's got to be the happiest guy right now. He tweets out, great first day, phase two of the offseason program. Offense looked sharp as ever. Still a long way to go, but a great start. Fly, Eagles, fly.
One step closer.
Ah, what a stinky Davis.
What a
total stinky Davis.
The odds are inching up that we got Chase Montana, week one starter, just like I was hoping.
Where does Sam Bradford get off?
Well, that's what when I mentioned. I mean, Wes, you're going to explain the reasons why. Shut up, Sam Bradford.
So since Sam Bradford has been drafted, 20 quarterbacks have started 60 games in the NFL. He is 20th in every major stat except completion percentage. He's 19th. He's been the worst starter in the NFL for a half a decade.
He demands to go to another team.
He's getting paid great money. Look, the idea of football more than any other sport is about competing. You compete for your starting spot. You're not bequeathed starting jobs in the NFL.
Also, he's skipping voluntary workouts. So it's right, like, okay.
This is lifting weights and everything. But once they have mandatory mini camps, and they're really, and even OTAs, I would say, that to me is a lot more meaningful, that a guy who you want to be your week one starter is not there. It's not like a cornerback holding out that can just show up, or a wide receiver that can show up. And you say, okay, it's the La Reveille Magnifico for Sam Bradford. I look at it the business perspective. Like, he's looking at what is out there, Denver, for instance, what he could possibly get into. You could argue it's a La Reveille Magnifico for Howie Roseman because you said, oh, don't you think they've considered this and everything? Like, I don't think they thought this was going to happen when they made this move, that they were prepared for it. Louis Riddick, who I like a lot, tweeted sort of about that, saying, I'm sure Philly decision makers plan for the possibility he might get upset and demand a trade or not show up, and then or not. And pointing out, this isn't fantasy football. You're dealing with real people here. And if they pay $11 million to Sam Bradford for a signing bonus, and they're forced to trade him, which I don't think will happen. I think ultimately he's going to stay, because it would be insane to tell your owner, hey, by the way, remember how we traded up all those picks to move up to number two? I also want to completely flush down the toilet the $11 million that you gave for Sam Bradford with very little.
And I love that this is becoming a standoff now, because Howie Roseman came out today and was talking about how Sam is such a pro and that they've worked together for so long. He loves to play the game and he looks forward to seeing him soon.
It's the most Sam Bradford story ever, that he is battling with a team that is insisting he's their starting quarterback. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm not your starting quarterback.
He hasn't even beaten out Chase Daniel.
Right. Well, but they say he's their starting quarterback. That's the plan.
Give me a break.
I love the glee, by the way, in Colleen's voice and eyes when she talks about hell in Philadelphia. It makes me think of Michael Caine from Batman. He's like, some people just want to watch the world burn. You love it. You love when it's Philly's on fire.
No, well, it's just like, it doesn't surprise me at all, but it gives me something to talk about, and I love it. I love all of the madness that goes on, because it's just like, it's such a train wreck watching the Eagles in the offseason. It's even more of a train wreck in the offseason sometimes than it is in the regular season, and that's saying a lot, because last year, not great.
And if he wanted a way to completely alienate and annoy every single Eagles fan out there, I mean, this is the recipe to do it. They'll go away from being annoyed at the Carson Wentz trade, and now they're just going to put all their pitchforks on Bradford.
If Carson Wentz is the answer, if he's the solution, that $11 million doesn't matter.
And the other question is
that's easy to say, but that's like someone's real money. You know, we talk about like, okay, well, that's only $11
million. You're talking about a quarterback who's been paid $114 million to win. He gets paid $3 million for every victory in his career.
Now
everybody throws money at Sam Bradford.
Now they say they won't trade him, but if Denver offered a third round pick for him, Wouldn't they do that?
In a heartbeat.
I mean, again, he has to convince.
That seems like a lot.
He has to convince. He has to convince Lurie that we just paid $11 million for a third round draft pick, which is, you know, I think that's an uncomfortable. I think that's an uncomfortable thing. That is telling your boss that you messed up big time, that you trusted me to make this big contract, and now we're just literally
his job
getting
was to find a quarterback.
Unless, and this is not something that's done a lot in the NFL anymore. Unless the Eagles actually do plan to go the route of giving their top pick a year or two.
I think that is their plan.
And then you have Bradford and Chase Daniels, and Bradford's the starter. And who's going to complain? How could Sam Bradford complain that he might not have a job in 2 years? He's getting paid plenty of money. The only time it really looks like Roseman messed up is if they really do, let's say, draft Carson Wentz and they name him the starter in August. Then I'm not sure if the plan was ever really that clear. Brandon, you had something to say.
Yeah, I just don't understand why Bradford is upset, especially when
getting paid
Roseman. Well, I mean, especially when said this.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he was that's what he was talking about when he was describing Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, and he was talking about pepperoni and sausage pizza as well. This was all on April 20th.
Can I hear that again?
Connect the dots.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
That's creepy.
Right?
It makes sense to me.
That was part of like a longer clip, but immediately I said, like, that needs to be a sound drop.
Unlike Dan, I listened to the podcast with Lindsay.
Whoa! Of course, Dan hadn't even mentioned the history making we had in this room. Lindsay Rhodes and Colleen Wolfe. What a great show.
They were on the show?
They were together? On together.
Wow.
Breaking.
Well, wow. I mean, Dan didn't know about my Prince Easter egg either.
No. For some reason, I prioritize spending time with my family in my time away from the office.
Weird.
I guess that's
show.
Where we're different.
I apologize to everyone that I've offended during your moment of great history. I didn't make the news. I guess I just missed it. But I'm sure it was a fun show.
It was great.
Yeah. I don't recall.
I haven't seen this kind of attitude out of Dan since the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
Uh-oh.
What is that? What is that? another dead podcast on the roadside.
Wow.
What?
Whoa. Whoa. No, I should check it out. I will check out.
That's great.
The first time two women have ever been on the show at the same time. That is historic.
It is.
Groundbreaking.
Is that maybe at NFL Media as well?
Enough is
might be true.
Not just NFL, like maybe sports.
Sports, yeah.
All right, moving on. Josh Norman, as we know, the Carolina Panthers, in a shocker, rescinded the franchise tag on the All-Pro cornerback, making him a free agent. And there was some thought, did they do him dirty by, you know, waiting so long before making this decision? Apparently not, because just 2 days after the Panthers made that move, setting Norman free, Norman signed a 5-year, $75 million deal with the Redskins on Friday. Ian Rappaport reported the contract makes him the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. And here's the banger right here. $50 million in guarantees for Josh Norman to anchor the Washington secondary, they would hope, for years to come. What do we think about this move, Wes?
I think it's taking a position of weakness. The Redskins have had a bad secondary for a lot of years, and now it might be a strength. Breshad Breeland was near Pro Bowl level himself last year. You had those two guys, and you've got a lot of depth there. They've got a lot of former cornerbacks who can play safety on that roster too. So to me, it's intriguing, and the most interesting part is – September, he gets Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, and Odell Beckham right out of the gates.
Mm. Whoa.
I mean, there was a question when he got cut. Is the rest of the NFL going to view him as a guy that can be that good in any scheme? But Scott McLuhan has a great history with physical cornerbacks, knowing what to look for in the secondary. I mean, their scheme in Seattle is pretty similar to what they had going on in Carolina. He did a good job drafting in the secondary. A lot of physical players for the 49ers. So it makes me more optimistic that this will work out well. That said, he is making he's getting paid like a super duper star. It's basically a 2-year, $37 million contract. So he's getting Sam Bradford money for 2 years, and I would put the over under on his time in Washington at, 2 and 2.5 years. What are you laughing at there, Wes?
Sam Bradford money. Why do people pay this guy $18 million?
Yeah, I should say like Tony Romo money or someone else. Sam, I guess Romo
makes
a little
more. It's just funny
that
somebody's willing to pay Sam Bradford that much money.
Yeah, and Josh Norman, it sounds like he didn't want to leave the Panthers, and he, I guess, tried to sign his tag after it was rescinded just to like see if he could get it in time, and obviously that...
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating because like that would ended up being less money, but he really did just want to stay there and was happy with that.
And he's a guy from the area down there. I guess he probably didn't think that there was any way it was going to play out this way. Here's some audio of Norman, who was asked about the whole saga and how it came together.
Man, still surreal. I mean, kind of crazy. Now sitting up here and talking to you guys on another team, another colors. It's kind of still surreal. So, but I'm blessed.
He did an interview with Lindsey Rhodes on Total Access a couple weeks ago where people in the newsroom were wondering if he was okay during the interview with some of his responses. But apparently that's how Josh Norman communicates. I don't know. But obviously he was blindsided by the whole thing.
It's fascinating. Greg's right. If he wants to be in Carolina, I think it's interesting how athletes sometimes let their agents do everything for them and then they just get swept away by the tide.
Yeah.
He winds up in Washington and doesn't sound like he wants to
be there. He fired his agent, right?
Yeah.
Because of the way it unfolded. And then also...
I think he, in the end, was happy because he had this quote today, you know, something about know your worth.
I have it right here. You've got to know yourself, know your worth, huh? I guess I know my worth. And that was Patrick Peterson.
Right. That was a response to Patrick Peterson saying know your worth. So, because in the end, I mean, he made out really well in this. And the Redskins...
It's a good fit, right? I mean, he's a good zone coverage, and that's what they do there.
Tell Redskins fans that you were going to get one of the top five cornerbacks in the league right before the draft. They'd be doing cartwheels. So this really worked out well for them. Assuming he plays at the level he played at most of last year, he kind of was a guy that came out of nowhere a little bit to become seen as like an elite guy.
And even in the second half of the year, I wouldn't say he was as dominant as he was in the first half. I mean, the Panthers, and we talked about it on Thursday, but yeah, they made a strong statement in saying they can live without Josh Norman.
And I think about that Odell Beckham game. If Odell Beckham kept his head on straight, he probably would have embarrassed Norman, dropped a touchdown, obviously got out of his game, but was outplaying him routinely at certain points of the game. So I don't know. I mean, they overpaid, it seems like, but That's the market for a cornerback, a top like cornerback.
Would have been our number one free agent available on our list.
Is that like annoying to you because you could have had that sexy name at the top?
Who was it in the end? I don't even remember. After all the tags were gone.
God.
Malik Jackson?
Malik Jackson was it, yeah.
I look for any reason. Do we have it by any chance, Brandon? No, we don't. It's off the board. People wonder, and this is not the Irishman's fault, about the drops. We have the first iPad ever made, I think.
Yeah, what is that?
It can hold like maybe 4.5 drops per show.
You need way more for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to move like 10 over just for today. Something didn't make the cut.
In other news, we'll hit on this quickly. Mike Tirico, everyone knows if you listen to the show that I love that man. Not just as a play-by-play man, but I think I love Mike Tirico.
Oh, God, what happened?
He is going... to NBC. He's leaving ESPN for NBC.
Wow.
And this has big consequences, both for Mark's boy, Bob Costas. Tirico probably in line to take over the Olympics coverage as Costas gets phased out of society. And
maybe that's why Sessler isn't here today, actually.
Out of society.
And then Sunday Night Football. Tirico's probably getting the big bucks. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, the best on TV. Michelle, too. Is it Michelle?
Yeah,
Michelle. That's great.
Is Tirico taking over for Al? And how soon?
Well, judging by the initial report that's out, he will be doing the 5 extra Thursday night games that NBC has picked up this year. I would be surprised if he was just taking over for Al Michaels, but it gives them someone to step in because Al's probably towards the end of his run, and you'll have Tirico right there to just continue them. Thing going. It's a big loss for ESPN.
It's a killer because I wish I would have known I had, the last time Tirico and Gruden were together. I could have savored it. You never appreciate these things till they're gone.
So. Well, he's not gone. He's still going to be around.
But that team, as we know it, they're broken up. And that Monday night team, Tirico and Gruden.
I'm sorry, Dan.
One more thing, circling back to the Brady
story. Big loss of the tennis coverage on ESPN, too.
Really?
He's solid.
He's good at everything.
He's good at everything.
And circling back to the Brady story, he did get some support on a very tough day at Brady camp from the GOP frontrunner.
Oh, no.
Donald Trump.
First of all, let's start by saying, leave Tom Brady alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's a great guy. It's enough.
That's who you align yourself with.
That's not true at all. Even Tommy doesn't align himself with that.
Maybe he can appoint a Supreme Court judge that will handle this case in the Brady appeals.
I did see a tweet just now as we're up here saying Brady's going to do whatever he can to fight this.
Oh, my God. It just won't go away.
It's not going to die.
It is interesting, though. When this happened the first time, it felt like the biggest news ever. The whole newsroom stopped, and we did a special show and talked for 40 minutes.
We got a packet of research that was so thick just on Deflategate.
But this time around, there is real fatigue over this again. Okay. And it's just now it feels more like a normal news story.
It's silly. The best – one of the two or three best players in the most popular sport in America isn't playing because he threw a light football.
And there's no way – I've seen it thrown out there. Is there any way that the NFL says, okay, it's been a year, this or that,
because they just want precedence, too.
They could just let him play anyways, and it's hard to imagine.
It's going
to
be annoying for fantasy purposes.
The whole point was for precedent.
He's a draft day value in fantasy leagues. I'm sure you check out the NFL Fantasy Podcast.
By the way, the last – yeah.
You know?
Alex Gellar.
Gellar.
Yeah.
Fabs.
Fabs,
I mean, what does this do
Grant,
for everybody
Rank.
Up there?
The last – by the way, the last –
Matty Harmon involved with that pod?
I think sometimes, yeah, sometimes. The
show.
Last Tirico game ever on ESPN. Chiefs 30, Texans 0.
Okay, you know what? That makes me mad. All right, moving on. That's what's happening in the news. And now it's time to make some lunch.
Ooh.
Because it is that time of the show. If you have not heard this before, about three or four times a year, we will lay out some propositions. Predictions really are what they are, and each of the people in the room make a prediction, and the others have a chance to say, oh, I agree with you, or I don't agree with you. In fact, let's put a sandwich on it. You're going to be wrong, and that is the game we call Go Get My Lunch.
You dung beetle?
You dung beetle?
Dung beetle.
That was good. Nice, Wes. So why don't we start up the game, Greg? You excited?
This dung beetle.
Yeah, this is the draft edition of Go Get My Lunch. So Connie Fox.
Wow.
Wow.
Is this the first time you've done this with us?
I think
it is. That's a big step.
You're going to be on the board.
When we talked about it on, I think it was on Thursday, I said, this is going to be a big moment for
us. Yeah.
You want to talk about history. This is history right
Okay.
here.
So I'm just going to throw one out there.
You throw one out there. And then we will let you know what we think about it.
Okay.
Honestly.
So I'm going to say that Ohio State has 6 players drafted in the first round.
Whoa.
That ties the record set by Miami in 2004.
Wait.
I think. What?
Go on.
Because I legitimately think 5 players will be drafted from Ohio State in the first round. So
you're a big Eli Apple fan.
I think that Joey Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, Eli Apple, Taylor Decker and Darren Lee will probably go. And then you have the guys on the bubble that are like Michael Thomas, Braxton Miller, and Von Bell. I think one of those guys jumps up.
Bron Bell, yes.
Von Bell.
Von Bell. I'll tell you what. Connie Fox has come to this game with a good strategy because she...
Right. I was going to say, don't be too prepared.
She lays in bed at night reading... paperwork.
You're going to make us look bad.
But I did Mock Draft Live yesterday on the network.
Oh, you did? That's right. What a huge advantage that is.
So I was looking at the guys that went. And I think it's going to be 6. I was originally going to say 7 and that it would be really crazy and break the record and break Michael Irvin's heart, really.
That would be your onion hanger. And that's what we call it. Like, you kind of have, you want to put one out there that's a little riskier than the others. Six,
okay,
six
all
is
right.
in the middle, but it doesn't matter. I'm taking you. I will take you up on that.
You think Connie's hanging onion here?
No, I don't know.
We
but
have it, no idea.
It's yeah.
No, I'm literally asking you.
It's I don't
Somebody
even.
Somebody tell me if she is or not.
I don't know what that means. I'm gonna take you up because six is so specific. You know, it could be seven still. It could be five.
Right.
You never know. It could be four. Maybe maybe your boy Eli Apple somehow slips out. I just love that name, Eli Apple.
Good Eli Apple.
That wasn't his first name either.
I'm taking it because
stop rubbing it.
I know. I'm sorry. All right.
Taking it because that's the purpose of the game.
Yeah,
that's true.
Let's wheel and deal here. Come on.
Okay.
So yeah. I feel like the odds are, even with my limited knowledge of the Ohio State football program, I can tell you. That's a lot of people to go in the first round. More than likely, someone's going to fall. Only five will be taken in the first round, so I will take you.
Ooh, okay.
So that's three sandwiches on the line. High octane sandwiches, by the way.
Jackson Market?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, no vegetarians in this game. I love that Mark's not here, too, because you know Mark doesn't love this game. He doesn't love food that much.
I love sandwiches. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, you eat meat and you like to have food, so this is going to be perfect.
Okay. Isn't Philly one of the like sandwich heaviest
it
places?
It is. There are so many good sandwich places there. If you guys want any recommendations, hit me up on Twitter.
All right.
I want you. At what? At what handle, Connie?
Colleen Wolf NFL.
John's Roast Pork.
Colleen Wolf was not
That's
available.
My favorite.
John's Roast Pork.
John's Roast Pork.
My wife,
is so good. Danick's Roast Beef.
Emeka and I, we went to Philly once just to eat sandwiches.
That's a great trip.
I'm
That's
serious.
What I do for, every time I go home.
For six straight meals, like, we ate six straight sandwiches, and that was, and then we just
that's
went home.
That's climbing up a few rungs on the common man rankings. Sandwich trip.
Common men like don't it. Have money to go to a city just to eat sandwiches.
Well, you don't have to be destitute.
We drove 3 hours and stayed in a cheap hotel. You know, you don't need that much money. Come on.
I mean, you don't have to be living in squalor to be a common man, you know.
Says the guy who's very low on the common man ranking.
I disagree, by the way. As Emeka has said, Greg's wife, I am number one on the common man ranking. So that's the way it is. Which I know hurts
Wes. Wes threw his head back laughing.
That hurts Wes so much.
It doesn't hurt. It's laughable.
No, it hurts Wes so much. Laughable. I work for the post office 46 years
ago. I saw a coal
ago.
Mine once.
I grew up in a coal town. That's true. And
he waved all the coal workers while they were descending into the coal.
Yeah, and I buried a lot of them, too.
Wow.
It was not an easy childhood for me.
Please.
Got dark.
Yeah.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Wes, you are up. Never forget who Emeka put number one. All right, Wes, you're up.
Titans trade up back into the top 10.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
I might have to go next because mine is really.
Okay. That's not a problem, Greg.
The flow.
All right, let me just take a look at the draft board here. Very important.
Ooh, maybe with like the Browns or something.
Yeah, some people think Laramie Tunsil maybe at five or six.
So the Titans the are at 15, of course.
They get the guy they wanted at one back at five.
They traded
and they have
at
so
one.
Many. They have so many picks now too.
Tunsil was the guy that they were connected to most before they traded out of the pick.
DJ's top player on his big board, and yet he has him going sixth to his old team, the Ravens. I will take you up on that because it's related to one of my other ones.
All right,
and I have to be consistent. Although
you don't have to be necessarily.
Part of me thinks that you know hedge your bets, but that's not. That's not how this game is played.
Yeah, you got to be a riverboat gambler.
Got to go for the sandwiches.
Yeah, I think, Wes, that's a good one. But for the sake, again, of the game.
you don't have to take it.
No, of course I don't have to.
I mean, let's stop being like you're doing anything for the sake of the game. You're doing it for the sake of some sandwiches.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because that's how you win sandwiches. The people that hang a little onion are the ones that are rewarded typically in the game. At least when it comes to taking them. Sending out the wages is when it gets tricky when you hang too much onion. But not only do the Titans would they want to trade back into the top 10, they would also have to find someone who would do it with them. I'm going to say they can't do it. They might try. They're going to have to sit at 15, so I will take you up on it.
I'm going to say I think they do it, and I think they do it with the Browns.
So you're not
hyper-specific.
Yeah.
All right.
So you only get the sandwich if it's with the Browns. No, that's,
no.
I'm just
pull kidding. Back. Pull back the reins.
I'm just trying to take advantage of your lack of knowledge of the rules.
Yeah. Just say, in accordance with the code of the game, just say, okay. And as an aside, not related to the sandwich prop,
okay.
I believe
okay.
that trade will be with the Cleveland Browns.
So, yes, all of that you just said, let's put that on the books. Great.
Wait. Breaking news. I'm changing my mind. I'm getting bad feeling about this. And now I feel as if they will trade back into the top 10. I'm out.
Well, then I know what you're saying with my next one, which is no trades in the top 10, which is really 3-10. We obviously know 1 and 2 have been traded. It's kind of people just stay on the board. They make their picks. Be a nice, quiet top 10. None of these players are that exciting to be trading up back up for. I don't think Paxton Lynch is a guy who should be going in the top 10 or trading up for him necessarily. Mm. No trades in the top 10.
So Chargers, Cowboys, Jags, Ravens, Niners, Browns, Bucks, and Giants all stay put.
As a nod to Mark Sessler, I should accept this one and just like go against my own.
Right, that's what Sessler is.
Old even Steven.
I'll take you up on it. I've already said the Titans are going to trade into.
I'll take you up on it.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right.
Because I don't think the Titans will doesn't mean nobody will.
Yeah, it would be a rare thing for that to happen, relatively rare.
Okay, I will throw one out there. The the Cowboys take a quarterback in their first two picks.
Wow.
Ooh.
Their first two picks.
Mm. Well, which really feels like their second pick, because right. unless they trade down.
They
which,
could
you
trade
know,
down.
Yeah, they could. Although Jerry Jones did say on Monday he thought they would stay at the pick, but who knows whether to trust that. I will take you up on that because, yeah, to me that's just their second-round pick because I really don't think they're going to take it one in the first round. And so their second-round pick.
Yeah.
By the way, that's number 34 overall, so it's a high second-round pick.
Right, and there's a lot of guys that people do believe are in that second-round quarterback range, so it wouldn't be crazy, but I'll take you.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen because I think they're going to take a defensive end probably in the first round. But
what about Ezekiel Elliott?
Get the quarterback in the second round.
Quarterback in the second round.
And as a reminder, Wes, the mailman, I'm putting you on the spot. Maybe you don't know, maybe you do. Who is on the quarterback depth chart in Dallas after Tony Romo?
Kellen Moore and taking it to the streets. What's his name? Strongs?
Yeah, it's very good. It's something like that. It
Strongs,
might be a fictional
streets,
person.
Something like that.
I should, out of respect for the man who's literally in the NFL, I will say that his name is Jameel Showers.
Showers.
Yeah. Showers. Yeah.
Showers. Take it to the showers, Jameel.
Take it to the showers. It's curtains for you.
So clearly they have a need. Tony Romo is by far the most frail quarterback in the game right now and 36 years old. They are going to go get that quarterback of the future in the first two rounds. And so, Greg, you're taking me up on it. Wolfie's not, right?
Right.
You agree with me?
Right.
I agree with you. I don't think you can go into the year with Kellen Moore as your backup. I think they take a second-round quarterback.
All right, just one sandwich on the line. All right, Connie, you're up next.
Okay.
Oh, I love this game.
The 49ers trade back into the first round. So they have the 7th overall pick? Yeah. And then they trade again to get back in later.
So they have 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Interesting strategy from Connie here. She's hyper-specific. Obviously, she's done her homework. Clearly, yeah. It's
generally not a good
weekend.
Thing to be hyper-specific.
Right. I was going to say, you've done your homework on the draft. Very right. well prepared. You haven't done your homework on Go Get My Lunch.
Oh, wow.
If you go look at some of the mistakes made by the man in that chair, number one, it's being hyper-specific. Two-part trades where specific guys go to specific.
That's
guys.
True.
And then number two, it's staying out of the mix when people are making their wagers, which you just stayed out of the mix for Dan's last one.
I'm channeling Sessler. I'm sitting in his seat right
That's
now.
True. A lot of dark energy over there. And Greg, you nailed it, though. Greg absolutely nailed it.
Okay.
If you get sheepish taking other people's wagers and then go hyper-specific, that is the ticket to 2-14, which
well, who knows?
What I did last year, by the way. It could happen to anybody, but last year in this very draft prop session.
And see, you've learned from your mistakes. I haven't had a chance to do that
perhaps.
Yet, so maybe that's what this is all about.
All right, can you just run it by me one more time?
The 49ers trade back into the first round. So maybe I should revise it, and it should just be the 49ers trade up at some point.
No, that's too,
too bad.
All right. They trade up to get back into the first round, so they have two picks in the first round. Because free agency is, like, they haven't done anything, and Chip Kelly's there, and Trent Baalke, maybe he's waiting for the splash for the draft.
You know what? I'm going to say, Connie, I'm going to pass on it, because when you're a bad team with a ton of holes, usually they want to have as many picks as possible, and I think they're not going to want to package a bunch of picks just to move up 10 spots. So I will take you on that.
Mm. I will also take you on that. I like your logic. It's coming from a good place, but
okay,
the odds are in our favor.
How much money do you have in your bank account right now, Colin?
Not a lot.
All right. So we all took
Did Greg take it?
Colin? I took it. Yeah,
yeah, we all took it. Okay. Greg chastised Connie.
I know.
Oh, yes.
Stop for the show.
Yeah. Now gentle, I'm very sheepish.
Gentle rebukement.
Show business.
Gentle rebukement. All right, Wes.
By the way, poor Mark. You know, we're burying him. His record is not so bad in this game.
Yeah, it is.
44-50. I mean, it's
the only one under 500 who's not a producer.
Yeah. I was disappointed when I heard
Dan and I are 9 over. You're 7 over. But to my point that it's good to just be in the mix, I have 10 more total wins and losses than Dan, for instance. So just throw him in there. Just throw him in there.
Ready?
Wes.
Josh Doxson, first wide receiver off the board.
Oh. J-Dox.
Interesting.
I don't even know who he is.
No, that's good. TCU.
Don't admit that.
All right, here we go.
He is, in terms of, like, looking at the skill sets and, you know, the
What
I know about him is what I like. He's the wide receiver that I'd want my team to draft. He has
borrowing Colleen's binders. What's going on over there?
Not totally out of it. You know, like a route runner. He just seems like great hands. Seems like a guy that's going to transition versus the boom or bust type of guy. Now, those guys aren't always taken first, and they don't always work out either. Mark Clayton is a guy I can think of who is kind of that guy.
Mark Clayton? The Ravens version.
Way back in the day, yeah.
Not to be confused with Michael Clayton.
No.
The one-year wonder. Are you taking it?
So Dan? I agree that Doxson's going to be the first wide receiver.
Okay.
I will take you on that.
Can you name another wide receiver?
Corey Coleman, Baylor. That's the guy I see going first. Guy's a real playmaker. Yep. In fact, he was almost one of my wagers. I was going to throw this out one, but it was a little too oniony. Corey Coleman to either the Texans or Bengals. But again, that hyper specificity.
Right, doesn't work.
Specificity.
That's hard to say. Really
you're a sneaky Baylor fan.
Well, Laquan Treadwell would be the conventional wisdom to go first, but it wouldn't be a shock, I think, if any of those three guys, maybe Will Fuller.
Will Fuller, he's so fast.
Goes first. But I will take you on that and go with the field. You know, Laquan and Corey.
It's a very Greg move to go with the field.
Yeah, of course.
This next one. Here's a Browns wager, and this was the thing I kind of feared with the Browns, that they would get sucked into RG3 and then not go after a quarterback. So I will kind of double down with my belief that that's what's going to happen, and the Browns will not take a quarterback in the first three rounds.
Wow. I'll take you up on that.
I'll take that.
That's a tough one. I kind of agree with you on that. But
remember, the ground moved beneath Hugh Jackson's feet. I mean, a home run pick from the great mastermind of football operations.
Sashi.
Plus, I want to see maybe they trade for Sam Bradford. No, that probably not.
They try to trade for him every year, don't
they? If they ended up with Sam Bradford in RG3.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
By week 8, they would have a starter.
That can't happen.
To get Sam Bradford, Josh McCown, and RG3 on the same roster, the most three injury-prone quarterbacks in the league.
They could split up the playing time.
Yeah.
Some people have been connecting Paxton Lynch to them. I don't know if they'd move back for him or not. I'm not going to take you on that.
You're not.
I'm sitting out. I think they'll take a quarterback.
Ooh, I like when I get Greg questioning himself and not taking one. Because you know he loves to jump in there.
Uh-oh.
I mean, yeah. I really gave him a brain buster.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. Let's take a break before we do our last one and do a group pick. We like to do one group where you got to nail the player to the team. I don't know if anyone's ever gotten this in the couple of years we've done it, but this year we're going to go with Ezekiel Elliott. He is the Ohio State tailback that everyone seems to love. Some people have him going to the top five when I was looking at the NFL.com mock drafts, which you can find, Greg, at NFL.com/draft. Takes you to that page. Marone.
Or mock draft, or slash mock draft central.
Mm-hmm.
Or just mock draft.
Wow, we've got it all
company
covered.
People. anyway, so Zeke Elliott, where will he land? What team? Hit the team where he's going to be playing football in 2016. Colleen.
I'm going with the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah. I originally thought the Cowboys, and then once DeMarcus Lawrence got suspended too, and like their need, I just feel like
it'd be crazy.
So desperate.
It'd be a little crazy to take a running back, I feel like.
They have Alfred Morris.
Darren McFadden.
Yeah, okay, they're not that crazy to take a running back. I could buy it. You should not let Darren McFadden and old Alf Morris get in the way of taking it. But it seems
true.
Like the players are better on defense.
You said the Browns?
I was saying I originally thought of the Cowboys, but now because they need a defensive end so bad, I'm going with the Browns.
Got you.
When I watched this team play last year, they had the slowest running backs in the league, the New York Giants.
Oh, you took mine, baby.
Well, you can go multiple on the same team.
I was thinking the same thing.
What, do that.
What a roster hole that was for them last
year.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, you're right. They absolutely need it. But, man, their defense is so bad. That
they
just
spent
crazy
like $3 billion on defensive players.
And that's
right,
one
just to replace their other –
they need a linebacker.
They need everything on defense.
They never draft linebackers.
By the way, you can still focus on your defense even if you use a high pick on an offense.
You have Shane Vereen, so that's one half of a decent tandem. Then you've got – Rashad Jennings.
To Greg's point, they only have 6 picks, by the way.
Don't forget Orleans Darkwa.
I will also go with the Giants.
I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears, one spot after New York. Mm. I think Miami is kind of the last spot he could go. He could certainly go higher than this pick. Even maybe 6 to the Ravens wouldn't be that crazy. But how about Chicago Bears? They tried to get C.J. Anderson. Jeremy Langford to me after I did that rookie running back article. I was not too impressed with Langford. I mean, he's a solid guy to have, but I think they'd love to get a real 3-down type of back.
When are you going to pop the question to Duke Johnson?
I love Duke Johnson.
You are in love with Duke
Greg's
Johnson.
Greg's out of his chair for Duke Johnson. all right, now comes the time. All right, we got all those locked in and our friend Nick Fortier. Or is it Nick Fortier?
Nick Fortier.
Nick Fortier. Again, gogetmylunch.org. He does an amazing job. He tracks every one of these wagers, and he has the all-time rankings. He also has a soundboard that has some of our great drops. All sorts of fun stuff on gogetmylunch.org. Don't forget about the Around the NFL podcast Reddit page as well and the iTunes challenge. All right, one more. Time around the horn. Now I want some onions hanging.
God, I already did that though.
All right. If you already felt like you hung on.
Yeah, she has. She has been pretty gutsy.
Then just give us one more.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
How about?
Go ahead.
And of course, our annual, and we love it every year because it's free sandwiches for the room. Producer pick. The Irishman ready with his own sandwich wager. Fun fact about this game, a producer has never won a Go Get My Lunch prop.
Wait, did I even do a second round of picks? I don't think I did.
I think you did, didn't you?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
And if I was sneaky, I would have just sat out because that would help my chances. But no, I only wrote down 3, and so I never...
Know why? Because you went third the first time. Yeah, it got a little wonky. Okay, go ahead.
So I don't want to cheat the game. Here's one. The Broncos trade for a quarterback not named Colin Kaepernick. Go get my lunch, you big guy. I don't know how this game is.
Workshop that one. I'd have to cut that one.
You should have to buy a sandwich just for that.
Go get my lunch, you big guy. That's going to happen. The Broncos are going to trade for a quarterback.
But yeah, and it won't be Colin Kaepernick. I think it'll be Case Keenum.
Is that part of it?
No, because okay. I made it a little more vague, but that's pretty specific as it is. Just in case they trade for someone else.
I don't think they're going to start.
This has to be by Monday.
They still
so when we
oh
when
by
we're,
Monday
by we're, when we're back in the studio because this is a draft show.
Yep, that's fair.
It has to be over the course of the draft.
I think it's going to happen, Greg. I think it's a good one, but I think there's no way in hell they're coming out of the draft and free agency with Mark Sanchez behind center. They're going to have somebody. I think it happens, so I won't take you.
I do think they'll trade for Colin Kaepernick, but in the spirit of Greg's way of playing this game, I'm taking the field.
Wow, what influence I have.
Yeah, I'm taking the field.
I'll take it. Why not?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So trading for a quarterback that's not cap, you said?
Yeah. Case Keenum is really who I'm thinking, but I figured give myself some other chances.
Bradford, yeah.
In our we had a trade piece today, four trades we'd love to see for the draft. Connor threw out Mike Glennon to the Broncos. Hasn't been any buzz on that at all, but Case Keenum makes a little more sense because he played for Kubiak.
Case Keenum's so good, you have to trade for him. You can't wait for him to be released. You just have to trade for him.
By the way, Mike Glennon.
Fifth round pick or something.
Mike Glennon needs to. He's inching towards the territory where we should probably stop invoking his name in trades and talking about him like every other show.
Victor Cruz territory.
Been happening like for 3 years now. All right, now the onion hanger round. Colleen, you already hung some onions, so just give us your final prop.
I'll just give you another one here. All right. Okay. Steven Tulloch is traded.
Whoa! Thank you for the sandwiches. She's learning. She's a rookie.
Steven Tulloch gets his own go get my lunch prop.
Yep.
It's very sweet, Colleen.
Just throw it in there.
Learning the game.
Why not?
I'll take
it. I'm a terrible gambler.
What is it like in you don't gamble here.
No, you're right.
What is the line in Shawshank Redemption? Like, fresh meat. Fresh meat.
Yeah, I'll take that up. That a 32-year-old or 31-year-old.
Yep, who's coming off what
major
like
injury
ACL
problems is not going to be burning
Achilles
up the trade market. But you know what? I did text in preparation for this. I'm always, you know, trying to prepare. Uh-huh. I texted Ian for, you know, some tips.
Yeah.
This guy.
Why not?
Cheating.
I know.
That's not cheating.
He just admitted to cheating.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
You're not trying.
Wes is one of those guys that's like, oh, yeah, those kids studying for the test ahead of time, bunch of cheaters. It's like, I'm just going to wing it.
So
Tulloch, to finish my point, he put Tulloch on his list of guys who could be traded. So with that said, I'm not buying it. Why would anyone want Tulloch at 5.5 million?
I don't know, somebody who's desperate.
Fresh fish. Fresh fish.
I'll take
what?
It.
Fresh fish. That's the line of Shawshank. I'm taking it. Of course I'm taking it. That guy's not getting traded.
All right.
This week.
See what happens, guys.
What? Did you take it?
I took it, yeah.
Okay. Wes?
Before I go over this, do you want to call Ian real quick to get his advice?
Oh,
to make this wager?
Shots fired. If we still had the Bunsen burner blowtorch, that would have been a perfect spot.
To be perfectly candid, I have no idea if this is an onion hanger or not because I know so little about the draft.
Been established, okay.
Paxton Lynch doesn't make it past the Browns at number 8.
Well, I think that's an onion hanger.
Yeah, I will say, because I did a little research for that same piece Greg was just talking about, Mike Mayock recently said that he thought the Jets at 20 were in potentially good position to get Lynch, and their biggest problem could be the Bills at 19.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking too.
So going by Mike Mayock's knowledge of the draft board, which is extensive, for as much as you can have knowledge of this, a little bit of a crapshoot, spoiler alert. I will say I'll take you on that, Wes, because it sounds like he'll fall a little further.
For the purposes of this game, let me rephrase it. He won't fall past number 8.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Browns could trade out or whatever. I don't know.
Right. I will take you up on that, although I hope you're wrong, because I really envision – a scenario where I think the Jets, you know, Jets might be looking at Pack. There's a lot of buzz of Jets and Paxton Lynch that they're looking at him as a possible thing, whether he trades, they trade up for him or they hope that he falls to them. I think they'd probably have to trade up for him. But here's my scenario, draft weekend. They want to trade up for Paxton Lynch. They're thwarted. Sorry. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way, signs a 1-year contract with the New England Patriots as a backup. Yeah, you got Geno Smith. It's all over for the Jets. Forget about the throne of ease.
Look at you.
You got a new setup.
Wow.
I like it. I like it. Well, listen, I'm on record that the Jets are heading towards disaster this season. But that's not going to happen. So, listen, you're just hitting out because your franchise is in tatters, although you're looking forward to it because you want to see what it's like to be like the other people
for
4 weeks.
Well, what was going on is I had that drop already and realized I hadn't used it yet.
All right, so are we all square on that one?
I think the Bills are going to – he's going to fall to the Bills. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's blow through the rest of these. And I mentioned this one earlier. Corey Coleman, the Baylor wideout, will go to the Texans or the Bengals. Hyper-specific. How you like them onions, chomp chomp?
Well, it's not as onion hanging because you gave two teams. And that's where people want to
pretty specific.
I don't think Corey Coleman goes to them. I think that it's going to be like Laquan Treadwell or Josh Doctson.
I'll take the other 30 teams.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that, but that's a pretty common pick. But by using the two teams, I don't think that qualifies as an onion hanger. Dan, once again, trying to cheat.
So you're not taking it or you're taking it?
I'm still taking it.
Oh, yeah, but it's not an onion hanger. Okay, and finally, Greg.
I'm going to go specific. The number three pick in the draft is DeForest Buckner.
Ooh.
To the San Diego Chargers. He will be the first surprise of draft night.
I will take you up on that.
I'll take you on that.
I'll take it too.
I'll take the field of 255. All right. Good job, guys. Good sandwich prop. Oh, Brandon, we ran out of time. Do you have one real? Colleen's got to get going.
I do.
Yeah. So
Oh, right.
As someone new to the game, I'll tell you, just take whatever the producer's wager is going to be. You don't even have to hear it. It's going to be bad.
Okay, yeah. I'll take it.
Okay.
Done.
But we'll run it by you after. Colleen has to take off. She's got somewhere to be.
Later,
Connie
guys.
Fox, check her out at Colleen Wolf NFL. Somebody got to Colleen Wolf. That must have hurt. But great work by Connie Fox. All right, before we go, it is a tradition. Like Mr. Irrelevant at the draft, there's always somebody that has to go last. It is our producer with a prop of their own.
I predict that
Roger
Goodell will walk up
stage
less times than he did last year.
What? He'll what?
Walk on stage less times than he did last year.
How many times did he walk? This is a bad one.
Yeah.
It's first ever. I don't care.
Yeah.
So
what does that even mean?
Does that mean you take it?
Wait, do you know how many times he walked
Maybe
on?
Maybe just pass.
You angered Greg, by the way, playing with this.
Makes no sense.
Greg's literally mad at you.
Is there some news that... No, that's not true.
Wait, how many times did he walk on last year, you know?
Probably did the first round.
I'm not helping you guys.
Doesn't do the second round. There's probably some news that someone's...
No, there's zero new news.
But he goes on the stage on the second round, too, for at least part of it, if not all of it. So
this is like writing about Victor Cruz.
That's right. I mean, it's your take it or not.
I don't even want to track this.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to not take it. You can be spit. He actually came up with a good way to avoid giving up Santa. So it all worked out.
Oh.
Poor Brandon.
No, it's. I mean, I'm just waiting to hear if you guys took it or not. I heard Wes no.
That's a no for me too.
Okay. No. And I mean, kind of a way to see if I could get sandwiches out of you guys because there's less picks in the first round this year. So,
But that was flawed anyway because he goes up for the second round too.
Well, but then there's
but the second round is the same number as last year.
But did he check to see if the compensatory picks are the same in the third round? Who knows? Who knows, Brandon?
I actually had another one too. It was like awkward moments for Roger Goodell, but whatever.
I don't know.
It's all right. It's all right.
Wes, what do you have to say about this Irishman? Should we put down the chisels after
I'm
this?
I'm flummoxed.
I have the Dean scream ready. You can yell at me. Go ahead.
We're not going to yell. We're not mad.
Plussed.
We're just disappointed.
That's worse.
Yeah, that's so. That's like when your mom, when you get in trouble from your mom.
You got to sit on the steps for an hour.
I have to say, though, I ran it by two people that I will not name, and they actually liked it. So.
Oh.
Don't.
Now you're making us feel bad.
Don't consult two people anymore.
Looking at Dan's scribbling paper, he's got my name written on it for something.
Well,
my name on your
not everything that I scribbled down I talk about. We ran out of time, so we can't talk about it right now. Mm. Maybe on our next show. All right, Brandon, maybe if you want to go back to the drawing board and come up with another one for...
Well, freaking Tony Romo, I had a good one, and then he kind of screwed me over, so I decided to go bad.
Irishman is like all out of sorts right now.
He's so bitter.
All right, how about this? Give you a fresh shot Wednesday. Something a little more, not something so out there.
He would have to do it. He would have to do it off
air. Yeah, off air.
Because we're not back till Thursday.
I'll
night.
Tell you guys Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
At least it was content.
Yeah. That's it for Monday's edition of the show. Thank you to everyone for listening. Remember, it's a different week, so we'll be on after the first round wraps up. So no matter. I don't know, depends where you are in the world, but it's going to be going up late on the East Coast in the U.S. but it will be up that night of the draft, and you're not going to get that anywhere else. So make sure you check us out. First round wrap-up, draft recap, and then we'll be back again on Saturday. So that's it for now. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Connie Fox in absentia, the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman. Take up the chisels. Get back to work, guys. Till draft night.